Good evening, all. Our numbers are well depleted from what we anticipated. So goodness knows, or maybe we should just say God, who is goodness, knows why our numbers are down tonight, but he does know. He's on the throne, and he's not fazed by the things that take us by surprise. It's good to know that, isn't it? Okay, let's just pray for a moment, and then a brief word about how I see the weekend. Steve has got another perspective on it, not a contradictory one, I don't think, but another perspective. But let's just pray. Righteous Father, we bless you that you are indeed righteous in all your ways. You are the uncreated one, without beginning, without end. No one made you, and you made all things. You speak, and that which is not comes into existence. We are here, Father, because your mighty Son has laid claim to our lives. The one who, lying in a manger in utter helplessness, was still upholding the universe by the power of his word. He is the one that we gather to honor here tonight. We bless you for your precious Son, for our Savior, for Israel's Messiah, for the hope of the nations. He is all these and more. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we ask that you would sovereignly rule and, where necessary, overrule in anything that is done here this weekend. We just want to be in the palm of your hand, Father, for you to do as you please. Your Son does nothing on his own, but only what he sees you doing. If we are truly his body on earth, we have no business with agendas that we didn't get from you. So, Lord, see to it this weekend, please, that we are preoccupied only with our Savior and with what he sees you doing. Let us not be a dysfunctional body, but let us be perfectly in harmony with our head. And so make us a blessing to each other, a blessing to this place. Make us a blessing to the nation, Father. We grieve over the state of our nation right now. We grieve over the state of all the nations. We grieve over the insane blindness that drives people to live lives that are a shaking of the fist at you. Lord, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. But that doesn't mean that they are not guilty or responsible for their unbelief. In fact, they are not unbelieving because they're blind. They're blind because they're unbelieving. So in Jesus' precious name, living God, we pray for your mercy on our unbelieving society. We pray for your blessing on our rebellious media, for the BBC, for the many people who are supposed to uphold the truth and who report everything but the truth. Living God, hear our cry. We don't know what it will take, or if indeed it is going to be possible, to bring this nation back to you. But we remember how you intervened with the Armada, how you intervened with Dunkirk. And, oh God, the enemy that once we kept out at such cost in human life is now firmly entrenched in our society, expressing exactly the same spirit as our forefathers laid their lives on the line to fight against. So God our Father, we stand before you with a very, very great deal of shame that we won the war by your grace and have thrown away the peace by our unbelief, our rebellion, our apostasy, and our apathy, our half-heartedness. Living God, in Jesus' name, we're not here this weekend to wallow in our sin, but we are here to bask in your grace and to become strong for the darkness that is facing us, to be strong not in our own strength, but in the mighty strength of Jesus, to learn afresh what it means to put on the full armor of God, to be people who are given an extraordinary boldness and courage for these days. Because in our and of ourselves, Father, we will not stand up against the darkness. It's too terrifying. But by our God, we can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, O Lord, so you surround your people now and evermore. You have surrounded us with your favor like a shield. Help us to live in the stronghold, Father, that we may have a mindset that is absolutely clear that the enemy doesn't have the access to us he wants us to believe. Help us to realize and remember at all times that you're on the throne, that nothing in our lives is random, that you're completely and utterly in control. And when the enemy accomplishes his will, he discovers to his dismay that all he has accomplished is your will. We marvel at this, we rejoice in this, and in Jesus' name, Father, tonight, we commit our time to you. Have your way, Father, through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Long ago, many times and in many ways, God spoke to us, spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. This is Jesus. He's the reason that we can be strong and confident for the days to come. Even though, humanly speaking, we're quaking in our shoes at the prospect of what we're facing. We are, aren't we? Let's be honest. We're quaking at the thought of what it might cost to stand firm in these days. There's a tsunami of hatred on its way toward the church right now. And but he has spoken to us by his Son. And he's still speaking to us by his Son. And my personal prayer for this weekend is that, as I said in the prayer, we must not be a dysfunctional body this weekend. We must be absolutely, properly, reverently, fearfully, joyfully connected to our head, so that when the head has a thought, the body moves. The body responds. That gets me excited. Nothing else will get me excited this weekend. I can promise you that. I won't be excited to see us coming up with fresh ideas and creative thoughts if we're not connected to the head. He must be speaking to us. He knows the Father's mind. He knows the Father's will. He knows what Father is doing right now. He knows what Father's purpose for this weekend is and has always been since before the beginning of time. He said to Jeremiah, "Before you were born, when you were in the womb, I knew you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." Listen, our Father could say as much to any one of us tonight. He knows exactly his purpose for each of our lives. He knows why he brought us here this weekend. We don't really begin to understand why others haven't been brought here this weekend. There's folks that are dear to our hearts that we would really wish were here tonight. But let's make an assumption. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's make a safe assumption that if they're not here tonight, they are where their Heavenly Father wants them to be, and the blessing that he intends for them will not miss them. Huh? So let's make that assumption. We are one, and we're one in the Spirit, and the living God is in control wherever we happen to be right now. Okay, so let me just tell you briefly what's my hope for this weekend. It would be primarily that we would become, I don't mean this in any competitive sense, but that we would become the most Jesus-focused people this country has ever seen. That we would be the most Jesus-focused people this country has ever seen. Now, we can't make that happen. We can't achieve this by somebody who's good up the front and can ginger us all up and make us excited. That's not how it's going to happen. But we will start by acknowledging that we are 100% in agreement with John 15:5, that apart from him, we can do nothing. Okay? That's a safe place to start. So if something wonderful is going to happen here this weekend, it will be because we are not apart from him. It will be because we are properly connected to the head. Because the vine is pouring his life through his branches, and we can't help but bear fruit to the glory of the Father. Now, I think we're all agreed that our country is in deep darkness right now. And the only light that we have to offer is the gospel. Now, this is going to sound a wee bit like an old-fashioned revival meeting, but listen, I want to tell you, I don't have any confidence in anything but the gospel to reach this nation. In fact, I don't believe we've got God's permission to reach the nation with anything else than Jesus. I know there's a body of opinion, and I respect these folks so much. They're my brothers and sisters, and I work so closely with them. There are folks who say that God judges nations according to how they deal with Israel. I just think that's an inadequate expression of the truth. He judges nations, but he judges individuals before he judges nations. And he judges all of us on the face of the earth by what we do with his Son. Jesus is the plumb line. Jesus is the yardstick. He's the stumbling block for some, and he's the joy for others. So I just want to say that my prayer for our weekend is that we will become different from the majority of the body of Christ in this country. And what I mean by that is the body of Christ is noticeably unamazed by Jesus. And I think we can prove that point quite simply. I mean, we could be really interactive at this point, couldn't we? And I could just throw it open and say, tell me why you think most of the church gives evidence of being unamazed with Jesus. Go on, throw some things at me. Where's the evidence that the church isn't amazed with Jesus? Right. Okay.
There's so many teachings out there on improving the quality of your life.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's another one. Yeah.
Compromise.
Compromise. Yes. Yeah.
Prayer meetings.
The least attending meetings. Yes, they are. Prayer meetings are the least attended. Let's just rephrase that slightly. Thank you, brother, for that one. Because we could rephrase that and get the gist of what's actually going on. Not just prayer meetings, but meetings with Jesus are the least attended. And you can fill halls with big-name speakers, can't you? But you try filling a hall to have time with Jesus, to see what he wants for his church, and you're hard-pushed to find a group that will turn up. So I rest my case. We are singularly unamazed with our amazing Savior. We sing Amazing Grace without amazement. That to me is just tragic. So I think my prayer for this weekend is that whatever happens to us this weekend, we will go away from here lit up by Jesus Christ. Just completely and utterly overwhelmed with the beauty of our Saviour, the preciousness of his love for us, the astonishing extravagance of his sacrifice, and the mercy that we have received. Because I believe that we need to become infectious, so that when we leave here, some glorious holy virus will just contaminate us and take us out into the streets and into the workplace and into everywhere we should be in life, and just spread the contamination of our joy and our thrill that Jesus is Lord. That's no matter what we see around us, those three words are the most true things we could say right now. Jesus is Lord. Nothing changes that wonderful fact. Just look at the worst things you can see about the nation and say, speak into that situation, Jesus is Lord. It might be a precious relative of yours that's completely off the rails. It might be a child that you're sick with worry about. Jesus is Lord. Okay? I rest my case. That's my hope for the weekend. Let's just see what God does. Okay? Thank you.